The word of God given to us today is Revelation chapter 2, verses 8 through 11. It's page 400 of the New Testament. We'll now recite the word of God. To the angels of the church in Smyrna write, these are the words of him who is the first and the last, who died and came to life again. I know your afflictions and your poverty, yet you are rich. I know the slander of those who say they are Jews and are not, but a synagogue of Satan. Do not be afraid of what you are about to suffer. I tell you, the devil will put some of you in prison to test you, and you will suffer persecution for 10 days. Be faithful even to the point of death, and I will give you the crown of life. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He who overcomes will not be hurt at all by the second death. Amen. From 1618 to 1648, Protestants and Catholics in Europe waged a war, which is now known as the 30 Years' War. This war is called the greatest religious war, the last religious war, and the first global war. Although the war ended with the Peace of Westphalia, and both the Protestants and the Catholics gained the freedom of religion, Germany, where most of the war was waged, became a complete wreck. At the time, Reverend Benjamin Schmalk ministered in the Schweidnitz. It was one of the ferocious battlefields and was marked as Catholic territory. Therefore, only one Lutheran church was allowed in the region. Reverend Schmalk and his wife began their ministry by looking after 36 villages. They often went out early in the morning and returned home in the middle of the night to make visits to the members of their congregation, where they even spent 2 or 3 days away. One day in 1704, when Reverend Schmalk was 32 years old, he came home after a visit to a faraway village, only to find his home burned up with the smoke rising from where his home was. But then he realized that his two sons were missing. When he looked through the ashes, he noticed his boys burned to death in each other's embrace. Completely shocked, Reverend and Mrs. Schmalk cried out and fainted. When they regained their consciousness, they lamented and cried out to God. But then they realized, all of a sudden, that God would know about the situation and that this was all part of his plan. So they went down on their knees and began to pray. What they prayed about is as follows. It's hymn number 549. My Jesus, as thou wilt, into thy hand of love I would my all resign. Through sorrow or through joy, conduct me as thine own, and help me still to say, my Lord, thy will be done. My Jesus, as thou wilt, though seen through many a tear, let not my star of hope grow dim or disappear. Since thou on earth hast wept and sorrowed oft alone, if I must weep with thee, my Lord, thy will be done. My Jesus, as thou wilt, all shall be well for me. Each changing future scene I gladly trust with thee. Straight to thy rest above I travel calmly on, and sing in life or death, my Lord, thy will be done. There are times in our journey of life when we face unexpected situations, or when we have to walk through a tunnel of suffering, or when we have to live with unresolved issues. What we are expected of at those times is to obey the word of God and keep faith and sincerity. The church of Smyrna was like a mirror that shows what kind of faith and attitude toward life Christians must have. Smyrna was the most beautiful city in Asia Minor. The temples of Cybele, Apollo, Asclepius, and Aphrodite stood all along the path up the Paphos Hill in their splendor. And at the top of the hill was the temple of Zeus. Such was the city of Smyrna. The city was called the Glory of Asia and the Crown of Asia. Imagine how beautiful the path up the Paphos Hill must have been to be called the Golden Street. The grape trade, which thrived at the time, continues even until today. More than 1900 years since then. Even today, Smyrna, which is now called Izmir, has established itself as the third largest city in Turkey. Politically, economically, and culturally, Smyrna was above any other city in Asia Minor. Yet religiously, it lacked a great deal. The largest obstacle to the faith of Christians in Smyrna was emperor worship. Once a year, all Romans at the time had to burn incense at the altar of Caesar, kneel down, and confess that Caesar was the Lord. The certificate they received afterward was like a permit to freely practice their own faith and participate in social activities. Yet the Christians did not have those certificates, or rather, they were unable to have them. Therefore, among the ancient cities in Asia Minor, Smyrna was the most beautiful, but the most dangerous and uncomfortable for Christians to live. To the Christians of the Church of Smyrna who kept their faith even in such circumstances, Jesus said, as in verse 9, I know your afflictions and your poverty, yet you are rich. I know about the slander of those who say they are Jews and are not, but are a synagogue of Satan. Lord said that he knows the afflictions and poverty that the church of Smyrna was experiencing. It was a small church made up of a few homes without a grandiose architecture like the temples of Apollo or Aphrodite. In the Bible, the Church of Smyrna is only mentioned in the Revelations. No information is given about when or by whom the Church of Smyrna began. But the Lord said that he knows the Church of Smyrna. Not only that, the Church of Smyrna is one of the two churches, along with the Church of Philadelphia, that have not been rebuked, but rather have been praised in the letter received from the Lord among the seven churches of Asia Minor. The Lord said that he knows their afflictions. They were forced to worship the Roman emperor and to revere Roman goddess. They were in danger as a result of the Jews scheming and secretly informing them to the authorities. The Lord said that he knew such afflictions that they were faced with. Our loneliness and despair become even greater when we believe that no one knows the kind of situation we're in. And that is why we feel hope and courage spring up within us when we know that the Lord knows of all that we are going through. In Psalm 139, David sang, "You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely." The reason God knows us is because he searches us. God searches us when we are aware of ourselves, and even when we are not aware of ourselves. That is why we argue that we know ourselves better than anyone else, but then later on come to confess at a certain point in time that God knows me better than I know myself, and that it is right and our lives are richer if we follow God's guidance instead of our own. God also said that he knows the poverty of the church of Smyrna. There are two words for poverty in Greek. One is penia, meaning deficiency in making a living. It refers to poverty where people are barely able to make their ends meet. There is another term for poverty, which is ptokeia. This refers to absolute poverty, where people have to beg to survive. This was the word used to describe the poverty of the people of the Church of Smyrna. Although there were afflictions and poverty at the Church of Smyrna, the people of the church were able to enjoy peace and prosperity because he who was the beginning and the end and who rose from the dead knew them. And that's how they were able to leap over the waves of slanders that the Jews spread against them. The Lord's words to the church of Smyrna continue in verse 10. "Do not be afraid of what you are about to suffer. I tell you, the devil will put some of you in prison to test you, and you will suffer persecution for 10 days. Be faithful even to the point of death, and I will give you life as your victor's crown." The words of encouragement the Lord gave to the church of Smyrna were to not be afraid of what you are about to suffer. At the time, the church of Smyrna was suffering from 3 different types of distresses: afflictions, poverty, and slander of the Jews. These were not nothing to the church of Smyrna. If you were physically in a condition to undergo an operation at the hospital, but had no money, yet received icy looks from the fellow churchgoers who criticized you, saying, "If you had your faith in Jesus, you'd be healthy and rich," it would be difficult to endure all of it. This was the kind of situation the Church of Smyrna was in. The fact that you are a Christian or that you worship the Lord does not mean that difficulties and poverty naturally bypass you. Also, it is one of the biggest misunderstandings that you won't be hurt by the sufferings and afflictions when your faith grows and matures. As we learned from last week's sermon, Apostle Paul, who spread the word of God with Aquila and Priscilla in Corinth, testified that Jesus is the Messiah, as he was captured by the word of God when Silas and Timothy came to join. And especially when he preached the word of God at the house of Titus Justus, who lived next door to the synagogue, many people of Corinth became believers and received baptism. Yet the Lord appeared to Paul in a vision at night and told him, "Do not be afraid. Keep on speaking. Do not be silent." This means that Apostle Paul was overcome with fear as a result of the Jews' atrocious assaults, and he no longer wanted to talk and spread the gospel because he could not summon up the courage to continue. Even to apostles like Paul, fear was not a strange and unexpected emotion. Compared to various splendid temples, the church of Smyrna was extremely small. Also, various types of commercial activities thrived in Smyrna. But the things that the people of the Church of Smyrna could do were limited, as they did not have the certificates of emperor worship, and it became more and more difficult for them to carry on their living. On top of that, the Jews kept on slandering them, and their slanders became ever more subtle and vicious. In such circumstances, the Christians' faith began to weaken, and they began to spend longer and longer period of time in the hole called fear. To them, the Lord said, "Do not be afraid of what you are about to suffer." Those words were joyful and good news to the people of the Church of Smyrna. The reason the Lord told the people of the Church of Smyrna not to be afraid was because a few were to be thrown into jail, but only for 10 days. In regards to the 10 days of affliction for the people of the Church of Smyrna, some say that it's a long time, while others say it's short. But I believe it's more appropriate to look at it as a period of test and training rather than talking about its length being long or short. After Babylon conquered Judah, they took a lot of hostages. Among them were Daniel and his three friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were to learn the language of Babylon for 3 years and then go on to worship the king of Babylon. At the time, Daniel told the chief official of his resolve to not eat or drink the food and wine that the king of Babylon consumes. It was because the food the king ate was considered as sacrifices that the people of Babylon offered up to their gods. Also, the reason Daniel decided not to drink the wine was because he wanted to worship the Lord in the right spirit and mind, just like the Nazarites who served God with clear mind without ever consuming wine or other alcoholic drinks. Daniel chapter 1 verses 12 through 16 reveal what happened when Daniel went to the chief official to get his permission. "Please test your servants for 10 days. Give us nothing but vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then compare our appearance with that of the young men who eat the royal food and treat your servants in accordance with what you see. So he agreed to this and tested them for 10 days. At the end of the 10 days, they looked healthier and better nourished than any of the young men who ate the royal food. So the guard took away their choice food and the wine they were to drink and gave them vegetables instead. Daniel asked for 10 days to figure out whether he must eat and drink the food and wine that the king consumes, or whether he can replace his diet with vegetables and water. Those 10 days were extremely short compared to the tens of years Daniel lived in Babylon. However, 10 days were not short, especially to spend them thinking, what would happen if I look gaunt and emaciated? What if all my friends look healthy and well-fed while I don't? Therefore, we can say that 10 days is a test period. Not only did God make Daniel and his three friends look more healthy and well-nourished than those who ate meat, but also allowed their wisdom and intelligence to be 10 times that of the magicians and sorcerers of Babylon. Let me read verse 10 one more time. Do not be afraid of what you are about to suffer. I tell you, the devil will put some of you in prison to test you, and you will suffer persecution for 10 days. Be faithful even to the point of death, and I will give you the crown of life. The Lord told the church of Smyrna not to be afraid of what they are about to suffer, and promised them instead life as their crown of life if they stayed faithful even to the point of death. Even to the point of death can mean until you die, referring to the time. But I believe it is more appropriate to interpret it as even to the point with the shadow of death hanging over your head. Also, the crown of life, the crown refers to Stephanos, meaning laurel wreath that was put on the heads of victors in sports games or the most important guests at feasts. In Smyrna, the wreaths were given to faithful officials. So the figures of great officials wearing laurel wreaths were said to have been engraved in coins issued in Smyrna. Therefore, when the Lord tells the church of Smyrna that he will give them life as their victor's crown if they stay faithful, he's saying, although emperor worship is weighing you down and the Jews' slanders are making you suffer in pain, if you finish your journey of life in faith, I will treat you as the winner of a marathon. And when a feast is held in heaven, I will consider you the most important guest. And when settling the accounts later on, I will consider you the most faithful servant who have gained as much gold as he has received. In other words, he had saying that if Smyrna was the crown of Asia, the crown of Smyrna was not the splendid temples nor the market where grape trade thrived, but the church of Smyrna. Such encouragement by the Lord makes our hearts beat and have hope. People might look down on us in the world because we might look insignificant, but the Lord is saying that he will consider us as crowns. It is possible for the Bible to be translated into language only when the missionaries have learned and mastered the language. However, the Bible was first translated into Korean outside of Korea. In 1882, missionary John Ross translated the Book of Luke in Manchuria along with Seo Sang-yoon, Baek Hong-jun, and Lee Eung-chan. And in 1885, missionaries Appenzeller and Underwood landed in Joseon, Korea with the Book of Mark, translated by Lee Soo-jung in Japan. And in such ways, the complete Korean Bible, with both the Old and New Testaments, was published for the first time in 1911. At the Yangwajin Hall that our church established, there is a video recording about Korean Bible translation that was made in 2011 to commemorate the 100th anniversary of the first publication of the complete Korean Bible. In the video, there is a part that describes the kind of devotion that the missionaries have showed in translating the Bible into Korean. Missionary Ross, who first came to dream of Korean mission through his work with the translation of the Korean Bible in Manchuria, lost his beloved wife and four children, but he never gave up on the hope of a mission in Korea and the translation of the Bible into Korean. Missionary Underwood, who worked his whole life as the chairman of the translation committee and led the translation efforts, was unable to look after his health and was called to God at the age of 57. Missionary Appenzeller, a pioneer of modern education, died in a shipwreck at the age of 44 while on his way to a meeting for Bible translators in Mokpo. Missionary Gale lost his wife and his son and buried them in Yanghwajin. Missionary Peters also lost his wife, Missionary Reynolds, his first son. Through their devotions and sacrifices, God's word was translated into Korean, and each believer was able to possess it as his or her own. The missionaries buried in Yanghwajin Cemetery were faithful to the point of death, to spreading the gospel in Joseon, Korea, and translating the Bible into Korean and into our hands. At the beginning, I mentioned the story about hymn number 549. There is another hymn by Reverend Schmolk in our hymnal. 13 years after losing both of his sons in a fire, he wrote the poem, which are the lyrics to hymn number 333. This is the first verse. Be thou faithful unto death, patiently bear every trial, all through toil and self-denial, labor till thy latest breath. Be thou faithful unto death. Reverend Schmolk lived for 65 years. At the age of 58, he suffered a stroke and was unable to use his right hand and foot, and cataracts made him blind. However, relying on a cane, he continued to make visits to the members of his congregation. Imagine how devastated he must have been after losing his two sons, and how the memory of his sons must have caused him immense grief throughout his entire life. But even greater than the sorrow of losing his two sons were the suffering caused by a stroke and cataract, was his love for our Lord. And thus he was able to be faithful unto death. Here in Korea in the year 2013, our Lord Jesus Christ is telling us to be faithful even to the point of death. Faithfulness unto death is not a phrase used by soldiers who risk their lives in war. Nor does it simply mean that we have to continue our tasks until we die. To be faithful, pistos in Greek, means the same thing as sincere, earnest, and truthful. To be faithful to the point of death is to always live sincerely, to be always earnest in our lives, no matter the task we are given. And to be truthful in any relationship with any person. The reason our Lord's name has fallen low and the cross the Lord bore is now being mocked and laughed at is because we, the church, have lost sincerity in our lives. Also, the reason Christianity is now publicly criticized is because we have lost the earnestness of committing ourselves with body and soul to the work we've been given. And further, the reason the world does not believe our words and actions as Christians is because we have lost the truthfulness in our relationships with God and with other people. And so God speaks to each of us saying, be faithful even to the point of death. Be faithful even to the point of death. Let us pray. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Father God, thank you for allowing us to understand through the Church of Smyrna how to lead our lives in this world. Although through our lives we experience difficulties and need and problems that overwhelm us, allow your words to not be afraid of what you are about to suffer to become a gospel for each of us. For nothing in this world will be able to cut us off from the love of our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, please let this be our faith. Much of the faithfulness of sincerity, earnestness, and truthfulness has disappeared from us today. Thus our Lord has suffered humiliation, and the church is being criticized. Father God, remember not our lack of faith, but only lead us into the right path, so that we may recover our faithful selves. Whether filled with joy or sorrow, in times good or bad, let us become sincere, earnest, and truthful children of God. Let us become your children, faithful in our lives, and when our last breath on this earth is gone, let us receive from you the crown of life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.